in the audio, in the video, sorry, of the picnic, you saw Pastor Virgil say something about, you know, something was there, some statement, sermon on culture, right? And we heard how we have to kind of abide by the culture of the church. Now, suppose if you belong to a family, how would somebody know that you belong to this family? Of course, your surname. And anything else? Peculiar or anything? Likeness, very good. And language? Correct. You belong to a particular community. They will know by your language, by your dressing, right? And various other things, right? So they know that, this person is from here, or this person is from here, or this person has done this. Similarly, you know, we also have certain cultures or certain, you know, so I will come to the line where we culture is different from values, and how it is different, we will come to that. So we know that we all have certain cultures, we all have certain likings, we all have certain habits, right? And many times we have been brought up in such a way, saying that this is only right, this is only right, this is only right. This is the way you have to do, this is the way you have to do. But when we enter the church, okay, the church itself has a certain culture, right? So you go to a different church setup, they will have a different set of cultures. You go to another, like, you know, far away, maybe a remote place, there that church may have a certain culture. Now that culture has been evolved, you know, over the years because of certain experiences, because of certain teachings, because of certain, you know, what do you say, things that have been brought up from the Word of God. Okay, so people have experienced the power of God and they have come up with a culture. Alright, so we will just pray right now and ask God to help us to actually listen to the sermon with the attitude of, Lord, what is it that you want me to change here? And which culture do you want me to actually abide by? Alright, so we'll just pray and ask God. Father God, we want to thank you and thank you for bringing up this, Lord, sermon on culture change. And Lord, we really want to be the culture changers, and we want to believe, O Lord God, that even as we listen to your word, listen to what you have to say, O Lord God, you will bring about change in our heart, our mind, and the way we think, O Lord God, and the way from now on we will start operating, O Lord. We believe, O Lord, there will be a difference, there will be a change in our Lord, mindset and the way we do things, O Lord. Lord, may you direct us, guide us, and help us to remember these values and principles and, Lord, the culture that you want to set up. We believe that you will help us and you will enable us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how many of us actually like change? Like, you know, you from wherever you are. For example, if I were to say shift from this place to another place. Will we like, actually you can see to it, like, you know, how many of us like change from the time you come into the church, you know, from the time you have a particular favorite seat. And even that seat you will not change, right? We will not change because it is my favorite seat. Similarly, we are very reluctant to change. We do not like a lot of changes in our lives because maybe change brings about a little discomfort. Maybe it brings about, maybe we do not know what is going to happen if I change. For example, a change in job or a change in, say, a place. We don't know who will our neighbors be. We don't know how the house is going to be, the, you know, the vendors or whoever, like, you know, neighborhood is going to be. So change brings a lot of apprehension, like, you know, oh, what is it going to be like? Confusion. Okay, so We are really, like, you know, as we said that, you know, we are creatures of habit. Once a habit is formed, it is very difficult for us to change. So similarly, likewise, I said initially, we have been brought up in a certain way. We have been, you know, told that, okay, only girls are supposed to do this. Boys are supposed to do that. They're not going to help out. They're not going to do this. But when we enter the church, we have to kind of become culture changers. So can we tell our neighbor we are going to be culture changers? Yes. So it's not like good culture changes to bad culture. Good cultures remain. Okay. Only thing, some cultures which is not practical and which is not in line with the word of God, we are going to change that. Because good cultures, definitely we are going to keep it. And cultures which, is not in line with the word of God, which does not carry the heart of God, we are going to change that. All right? So, yes. So, culture is nothing but a predominating attitude and behavior. Okay? It's a predominating attitude, remember? Okay? And behavior that characterize the function of a group or organization. So the author says, I've come to believe the best definition of culture is how things work around here. So when we enter Renewed Hope community, what is the culture that we see? So what is the culture that we see? Can somebody show? I'm very eager to know what is the kind of behavior or actions that you see around here, can we say? So there are a few people who entered the church, and then what do you think? Just shoot out anything. What do you see as a culture, or do you see it predominantly happening in our church? For example, greeting each other as soon as you enter, we say, "Hi, how are you? How's your week?" and this and that. Okay, so we make you feel welcome. Okay, so that could be one culture. Maybe it's not there in any other place. Anything else that you feel you see predominantly? Relational. Right, so you call up and you meet each other over the week and all that. All right, good. Anything else? Focused on community. Good that you are saying all this because there are other things that we want to bring about. Because this is very dominant. Relational, we are very warm, we are very loving, all that is there. Yes, very good, excellent. Anything else? So when we say Renewed Hope Community, RHC, what is that one thing that comes to your mind? Picnic? Kashid Beach? Okay, so let's think about it. Okay, so that is what he says that, how things work around here. So how we operate, okay? So yes, we are relational. We operate through relationship. We work around relationship. But you know what? There are a lot of things that we also need to learn, over the period of time that it is relationship, but relationship also brings about this thing. So we look at it as we move ahead, okay? Right. So relationship is good. Welcoming, warm is good, but there are a few patterns that we have addressed over the period of time that we have seen in the church, which is like budding. It's not bloomed yet, which is budding, which is unhealthy for the church. What are some of the things? Some of the things you may have thought about, okay? Some people, if you see, some people are only doing everything all the time, right? There are only a few handful of them doing everything all the time. You will see them standing behind. You will see them playing here. You will see them serving. You will see them, coming for midweek cell. Only those people are coming, right? Only those people are doing everything. Few handful of them. Yes or no? And do we think it's healthy? No. See, you only confessed it. It's not healthy, okay? So it's not healthy to have only few of us doing. It's not that only they are privileged. It's not that. The opportunities are open, okay? The messages come to everybody. The broadcast is message to everybody. Even if, suppose if you're not getting the message, we personally message you. Church is this time, this thing is this time, that thing is this time, right? So it's not like I'm not getting the message. I was not aware. Forget about the message. At least we hear the announcements that this is happening at this time. So it's not that we are not aware. We didn't know about it. But we have not taken the opportunity. All right. So maybe there is a lack of teaching, right? Maybe we are not taught. Ye karna hai. This is how it is supposed to be done. This is how we are supposed to behave. This is how. Maybe it is not taught explicitly. However, it has been like, you have seen somebody doing it. Maybe you have thought, okay, only this person does it. But it has not been taught to us or passed on to us saying that this is how it's supposed to be done. This is, for example, if I were to ask one of you to set up this place, you will not know. Why? Because we have never been taught about it. We have never been asked to do it. So is it healthy or unhealthy? If we are not being taught, is it healthy or unhealthy? Unhealthy, right? Because suppose, God forbid, something happens, okay, the main leader of the setup team is not come. The church will not function, right? Means it will just come to a standstill. If we have a backup or if we have other people learning this skill of setting up or learning the skill of, even setting up the table or singing or maybe taking a midweek, sharing, if that person is not there, it can still go on. The church of God will move on because if even if the person is not there. Okay. So there are some values that we believe as a church. Sometimes it is not at all practiced or it is rarely practiced. Have we gone through the values of the church? Maybe we are not aware of it also. So it is there in our website. So if you open the website, okay, www.renewedhopecommunity.in, you will see about us. In about us, you will see our values, our beliefs. So when you click on values, you will know, oh, this is a value that they believe in. Open homes, discipleship, this is what they believe in. Prayer, oh, okay, I didn't know this. So many times we are not aware of the values, and many times we have not even like got time to go through it or maybe revise it. So that's why we cannot practice that culture. Now, so we need to rectify this, right? So there are three things that I have put forward. There are three things. One is some people do everything. Next is lack of teaching, probably. Then the values that we believe in are not practiced or maybe rarely practiced. So it needs to change. Can we tell our neighbor these things need to change? Yes. So these things need to change affirmatively. Okay, we cannot go on like this because today we are only 70 people, but tomorrow we will be 700 people. And if we continue like this, okay, if we continue like this, then there are higher chances that we will be very insensitive. We may be called as an insensitive church. And when people walk in, they'll say, "Arey, ye toh sirf relational hai." But they don't have any values. They don't have any teaching. Whoever is doing, they are only doing. So we will not get an opportunity here. Right? So then it becomes a very stagnant church. Now, there are three processes to every church culture. Okay? Three processes. One is belong. Okay? One is belong. Can you tell your neighbor belong? Belong means what? When you walk into the church, okay, we welcome you. That is the first step. Everybody said relational, warm, and everything. So we belong, okay? And when we belong, we are like warm, welcome. We say, okay, this is happening, that is happening, all that is happening. Then we come to the next step. That is believe. What is it? Can you tell your neighbor believe? Believe. So in that belief thing, we have the foundation course, we have discipleship, we have we train you, we have midweek cell. So we help you believe in the word of God. We help you believe in certain commandments. We help you believe in certain, things that God wants us to understand. Now, the last thing, can we shake our neighbor and say behave? Okay, yes, you have to shake your neighbor and say behave. Yes. Now, behave is the one that we are talking about today. The culture, okay? The culture. That means we belong, definitely. We believe, yes. But we also need to behave. That means when we go out, when they say, "Arey, kaun sa church se hai?" So they're Renewed Hope Community. Oh, wow, what a nice guy. Or what a person. How did you learn to serve? How did you learn to be so hospitable? How did you? So then he or she becomes like a, what do you say, ambassador to wherever they go when we behave. So many times, when parents come in, in our school, they say, no, the child doesn't behave at home. The child doesn't do this. Jab bahar jaate hai, toh the child is throwing tantrums. So we say that, how does a child behave at home? So the child, the way you bring up the child at home, the child will behave like that outside also. So similarly, when we behave in the church, the way we behave, we will behave outside also. So this is like a family. We behave with each other the way we want to behave outside also, right? So we behave means, so I will come to what all are the things that we can behave. Yes, so that is belong, believe and behave. All right. Now, we as a church, we have a mission. Yes. So mission is the action of the church. Means we have a mission to move out and have multiple like that Renewed Hope communities. Now, until and unless we do not have a certain culture, we will not be able to plant ourselves anywhere else. So there is a mission, which is the action of the church. Then there is a vision of the church. Do we know the vision of the church? We got the card, no? Yes, yes. Correct. So only, see again, very handful of people know what is the vision of the church. So can we say it loudly? Very good. Transforming the city with a renewed hope. Can everybody say it now? Transforming the city with a renewed hope. Yes. So that is what our vision is. So vision is the site of the church. Means we want to transform every pocket of the city. Culture is the feeling of the church. Okay. So culture is a feeling of the church. How does this church feel? How does this church behave? Okay. So culture. So can we make a note of this in our mind or in our heart somewhere, that this church believes in culture of putting others first? Can we tell our neighbor culture of putting others first? Yes. So that means if I am taking the plate, this is just an example, huh? Taking the plate, we call the other person first and say, hey, you take. Okay. Rather than me taking. If I see there is a shortage of something, then I say, you take it first and I will take it later. Sometimes we wait for the others to finish and then we do it. There is one wonderful culture that we have observed in our home, is that, I don't know how that is formed, but yeah, definitely we have over the period of time seen that whenever people come in, whenever they have chai or coffee or anything, they will wash their cup and keep. We have not told them, we have not asked them. But what has happened is the older people who have been coming to our home, they have done that. Older means the previously coming people, they have washed their plate after lunch or dinner or anything. And when the new people come in, they say, oh, this has been followed here, so let me also. So they have, so their parents have said, this boy or this girl do not wash even a single spoon at home. But aapke ghar pe aake, they are washing a plate and a cup. Okay, so why? Why is this happening? Because we have learned to put others first. It is their home. We have to respect that culture. We have to serve them. So when we go, so it is not like, you know, when we go to somebody's house, they have to serve us. In Renewed Hope community, we follow that. We serve when we go to in somebody's house, right? So we put others first. Then we also have the culture of acknowledging God's supremacy and power. So anytime, whenever you see a worship leader or a sermon which is preached or anything that has happened, we say it is the Lord's doing. You know, God has helped us in doing this. God has blessed us with. So there is a culture of acknowledging God so that we avoid pride. We avoid any kind of arrogance that comes into our lives. So that is why when we go out, people have also commented that, yes, Renewed Hope community, your people are so humble. Your people have, you know, so when we go to Kashid Beach or Nilshi or anywhere, we see to it that when we leave the room, we leave it clean. No, not that they have, we have paid them, so let them clean, nothing like that. We see to it that God, when they look at me, they have to acknowledge you. Oh, which kind of people they are. Which, you know, how nice this community is. Even after leaving, they are leaving the room clean. Things are folded, kept in place, so that, you know, they don't get troubled. So they invite us and again. So we acknowledge the supremacy and power of God, saying that, God, this is your privilege that I am here. I have this opportunity and this thing to do. Then being hospitable. So we want to see each one of us being hospitable, as I said, no? Culture of humility, knowing our limits, not limitation. What is the difference between limits and limitation? Any idea? This is my limitation and this is my limit. Come on, English students. Knowing our limits means I do not cross my boundary, right? I have a certain boundary. Like, for example, if I crack a joke or if I have fun in the group, I have my limits. I cannot cross it. I cannot keep on doing things which will annoy the other person or hurt the other person or do things which will, you know. So I have my limits. Whereas limitation is you are skilled beyond limitation. So you have a limitation. Like, you know, you do not have a limitation to this or that or anything. You are being given chances, so you can test your limitations. That is the difference. Okay, you can test your limitation means, oh, I can sing also, I can preach also, oh, I can serve also, I can do. So you are beyond your limitation. But when I talk about limits, limits means everybody has a boundary. Can you tell your neighbor, I have a boundary? Yes. So that is why we keep it to ourselves. Whatever, if we have a comment to pass, let's keep it to ourselves, okay? If it is not encouraging them, let's not do it, okay? Let's respect whoever is around us and let's keep our boundaries. Culture of transparency, okay? Culture of transparency also means that there are no gossips, okay? If so, there are some people, when they hear something about a certain person or something, they will come and report it to their leader or their discipler or their pastor and say, this person is talking this. That is a culture that we have seen and we want to even more develop it in our church. We want to develop that culture of transparency so that there are no, you know, frictions or there is no groupism, there are no cliques, because we don't like that other group. So as I said, no, today we are only 70 people, but tomorrow, God willing, we'll be 700 people. Then we cannot form that cliques and say, oh, I don't like that kind of people, I don't want to, because there is no transparency. What happened? Why it happened? To maintain that, we need to build a church which is transparent, which is open to correction, suggestion, okay, and then we will be blessed. So, can we tell our neighbor, gossip is not allowed in Renewed Hope Community? In any form, okay, in any form, be it social media or be it WhatsApp or be it just a call or be it a prayer point, okay? Please pray for me because this is happening and you know this person did this to me and please pray for it. We ended with a very spiritual connotation. But that is also like, you know, let's just be very transparent, okay? Then we honor the people around us. For example, we give our seat. For example, if we see that, oh, sometimes the church is so full. So we have seen some people giving their seats and, you know, they themselves standing. Definitely, we said that welcoming, we talk to people. So these are some of the things that we want to see. And now it is like very minimal. If I were to say, so if I were to ask you, how much percentage of all this is happening in our church? What would you rate? How much percentage will you give? 20% only, see. She is telling 20% only this is happening. That means, very evidently, we have to work over it. We work on it. Yes, Suraj? Improve on it, right? So, is it only the responsibility of the core members in our church? No. It is each one of our responsibility, right? So, putting others first. Can we repeat? Putting others first. Acknowledging God's supremacy. Very good. Culture of being hospitable. Knowing our limits. Yes. And also knowing our limitation. Limitation is boundless. Okay. You can do whatever God has asked you to do. Then, importantly, culture of transparency. Yes. So, we all need to be transparent. Right. Now, as I said earlier, the difference between a value, difference between value and difference between culture, okay? Values will tell you like, you know, what to do. What to do. What is it? What to do. But culture will tell you how to do it. For example, one of our values of our church is character. If you want, you can, you know, quickly see the website. Okay, one of the values of our church is, so I want to ponder upon this and say character is our value. All right. So, can we all read it together? 1, 2, 3. Excellent. Very good. So, we believe that godly character above natural gifts. So, that's what I said. Transparency, discipleship, all that happens because we believe in character. Now, that is what to do. Okay, what? The value is what? Culture states how you do it and when you do it. So, how? So if I were to say, okay, I want the culture of this value, how? What will you do about it? How will you bring about this in your culture? Getting the question? This is a value. Now I want to bring about a culture of character. How will you do it? What will you do for this to bring about? So if I say, oh, wow, Renewed Hope Committee has excellent people with excellent character. Their culture is so good. The character, very good. So if you want to bring about this, what will you do? Very good. Teach. Teach. So we are talking about how we do it. Okay. How? Then we teach. When do we teach? So we have to also talk about when. When do you do it? The moment they join the church, bombard them with your teaching. Okay. So when you do it is like, you know, whenever you see, for example, as I said, character, when you see, oh, this person needs this. So you just kind of gently, okay, not like, oh, what is this, what are you doing, you don't even know how to do this, okay, not like that, gently nudge them and say, okay, can we, like, you know, so let them come, get settled, as I said, na, belong, then believe, only after that only we have to do this, okay, yes, so teach them. Anything else? Include them so that they see you doing a certain thing. And they learn from you. Excellent. You include them. Very good. You take them along with you. Very good. Excellent. Anything else? So, be a role model. Yeah, that's what. Include them. Be a role model. Yes. So, yes, we discussed about this many a times that we also had to. So, one of the articles that I was reading is that, you know, people have leaders. And when they see their leader doing this, they will be led. Okay. Now, who are these leaders? They are not the pastor or the core, the youth leader or anything. The leader can be anybody, any one of us. Okay. They look up to you as a leader. They look up to you as a person who's a role model. Wow. She works in so-and-so company. She can be my leader. Like, they look at you. Even if you don't feel you are a leader, but the other person has already looked at you as a leader. So what you do is, we follow the principle. So when we follow, they follow. Okay, and they become culturally adept at it. So many a times we feel that, oh, I am not a leader, I am not this. But you are a member of this church. So let's not do the opposite of the culture that the church believes in. So let's tell our neighbor, I will not do the opposite. Yes. So if the culture believes in serving, let's not sit there and be served. That's the opposite of it. When people are coming to talk to you, it has been already 3 Sundays, 4 Sundays. Now it is my chance to go and talk to people. I cannot sit there and say, oh, okay, people will come and talk to me. Okay, so I go and talk to new people. I go build relationship. So if I am, you know, I want the culture to happen. Okay, that means I also grasp the culture and I also start doing that what they are doing. Okay, so sometimes we must change the structure. It is a very spiritually and very biblically led, you know, where we have to change the culture. So let's talk about change. Okay, so in Acts 6, 1 to 7, so as we had read long time ago about Acts. Now, when the church has just been established, okay, after the ascension of Jesus Christ, then the disciples met, the Pentecost happened, like, you know, the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles, and, you know, a lot of things happened. So the church was growing, like, you know, 3,000 people were added and all that. So they cannot practice the same thing that they used to practice when they were only 30 people. Okay, they cannot do that. So they had to do some amendments. They had to change certain things. But the core, okay, the core practices remained the same. Like serving, blessing, making God, acknowledging God as a supreme, teaching. All these were core. And that remained. But what changed? So let's read this from Acts 6, 1 to 7. It says, in those days when the number of disciples were increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert of Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. All right, so we see here that initially the apostles were doing everything. Then they said, this is not possible, but we don't want to stop it also. This is our culture. This is how we go about it. So we want to hand it over to these 7 people. And they prayed over them and they handed it over. Similarly, we see a lot of things that are happening, okay, around us. So Jesus, so let's look at how Jesus brought about this culture change. All right, so initially there was, so Jesus is an exceptional leader of all times. He saw certain things happening in his community. The Pharisees were behaving differently. Disciples were behaving differently. So he had to bring about a culture change, right? So there are 5 things that Jesus did, okay? And we are going to look at it. How did he change the culture? Number 1, Jesus was not afraid to set an example. Can we tell our neighbor, Jesus was not afraid to set an example? Correct. He was not afraid. Can we remember any instance where Jesus was not afraid? He said, ye hona hai, to ye hona hi hai, aise hi hota hai. Anything that you all remember? He did very good. He did a lot of miracles on the day of Sabbath. Very good. And he challenged the mindset of the Pharisees and said that the heart of God is to heal, to love. He has come to save the world. And what you are saying is, you are saying law, 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 law. But law comes with love, right? So you have not kept that. Okay, so Jesus was not afraid to set an example. There is this one more very famous verse where Jesus was very angry. He entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but what have you made it? A den of robbers. Okay, so actually when we read this verse, we only partially understand this. Array, you know, Jesus was very upset because they were selling and buying stuff. Now these doves and these animals were kept in the temple for a reason. Why were they kept? Because in those days people used to sacrifice, right? Those days when they sin, they used to sacrifice, and that's how. So just for their convenience, what had happened? People had started keeping those animals, and then, but the intention changed. many times in the church atmosphere, the culture may be followed from generation. Okay, we may become serving, but with that pride, oh, I am the most humble person on earth. But actually the pride has come in. Okay, so who is there to correct? Who is there to change that? Okay, I will only serve. Nobody else will serve. Okay, I will only do it so that people will get me as I am the, you know, the least. So, it, you know, the whole mindset changes. Similarly, it happened here. And Jesus was not afraid to tell them, excuse me, your intention is wrong. This is not the way it happens. So when we see certain things, culture is changing or being manipulated, okay, we got to be like Jesus and say, no, no, you're not setting the right example. We have to set the right example without fear of being judged or being, you know, questioned. So, so what are some of the barriers to this? Why are we afraid? I'll give you one random example. What stops us from telling people that it's not correct in our church? This is not correct. What you're doing is not correct. What stops us from doing that? Sorry? Who? The person is telling is not able to face the consequence. It means we don't know what response we will get. Correct. Huh. The other person should not get hurt. I should be in the good books. I am a good leader. I am a good person. I come to church. I pray. If I tell, then they will get hurt and I will be in the bad books. Correct. Very good. Very good. Anything else? Huh. They may take it wrongly and they may not come to church next time. Correct. Very good. Yeah, it's important to keep the transparency. That is why we have to tell. But sometimes we don't tell. That is what we are discussing. Why are we not able to tell? Many times we hear something wrong. Okay, we know in our heart that what this person is saying is not right. And it is against maybe the authorities of the church, or it is against the way the church is functioning, or maybe it is against that person who has helped me so much or not helped me. But it is wrong. We are hearing it, but we are still quiet. Any idea why? Same thing. It's good to analyze and keep this in our mind. Okay, maybe I feel probably, maybe we haven't built a relationship in such a way with that person to tell them upfront, ki, what you're doing is wrong. See, for example, when Jesus' disciples saw that Jesus did this, they did not kind of get away from him. In fact, they were curious to know, because the relationship that they had built with Jesus, they wanted to know why Jesus is behaving in this way. And then he said, my house will not be called a house of, like, a den of robbers. And he explained to them, this is not what it is. It is supposed to be like this. So the relationship that we build with people helps us. So when we say, when we are relational, we should not keep it to that only. We should be able to correct them. We should not be afraid of telling them, this is how the church culture is. Let's behave in this manner. Okay, so fear of losing friendship, as we say, we look good in that person. We don't want to get into the bad books. So let's contemplate this and let's come to the next level of not being afraid. Now, next is Jesus equipped and taught his followers. Okay, Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. What did Jesus say? I have something to tell you. He didn't say, are you didn't understand this? He didn't say that, right? He said, I have something to tell you. Means Jesus also told explicitly to his disciples. Tell me, teacher, he said, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. So he told them in stories, in parables, that see, we cannot judge people on the basis of, you know, this. We have to see to it, like how, you know, God is looking at them. So Jesus taught and equipped his followers. Can we tell our neighbor, I will teach and equip people? Yes. So we need to teach the culture. We need to teach them. Okay, let's go and talk to this new person. Let's come do this together. Let's help out in Sunday school. Let's help out with the setting up. Let's come at 9 a.m. in the morning. So we need to teach them, right? We need to help them and encourage them. Then, Jesus engaged with his disciples. Okay, then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. When did this happen? So was he teaching them, like explicitly like before, or was he engaging them? What do you think? The difference between teaching and engaging is, you involve them, like how she said, you include them. You know, as you are doing, come, let's go, let's do this together, let's pray together, right? So that is one of our values. So character building happens like this also, when we tag them along with us and say, hey, what are you doing today? Let's go for a prayer walk today. So you are bringing about a culture of, you know, volunteering when it is required. So Jesus's disciples spent 3 years with Jesus, and Jesus packed those days with one event after another. The disciples would remember how scared they were in the middle of the lake during a violent storm, and Jesus would come with a word. They would never forget seeing Peter walk on water. They would retell for generations the story of seeing the empty tomb. So many times when we sit back in our homes and we recall, right? Array, when we were in church, na, we did this during Christmas. When we were in church, we did this. When we were in college, we did this, right? We do recall, right? So that is because we have been part of such amazing events. So it is always good. So when we call for Kashid, or when we call Nilsh for Nilshi, when we say, oh, let's have a barbecue at home, let's do this, it's all engaging them. It's all training the others who have just joined us and saying that this is the culture. Come, let's learn, let's be there together. All right, so now Jesus taught equality. He never neglected anyone. Anyone remembers how Jesus taught equality? It's very evident, but also not very evident. Jesus taught equality. No? The disciples, from where did they come? Right? So they came. One was a tax collector. One was a, you know, a fisherman. One was so diverse. But he never said, oh, I will only listen to this guy because he's a fisherman. Or I will only listen to this fellow because he's good in accounts. He didn't do that. He said, all of you come with me. 12. All 12 were given equal privileges of listening to Jesus. So he showed equality. He cleansed the lepers. Yes, very good. So, just before that, as we said, yeah. So what experience are we giving them? So it's the previous one. I would just like to quickly do that. Jesus engaged with his disciples. Can we think of some barriers that we face to engage with people? I almost skipped that. Some barriers. Why are we not able to engage? Time? Time constraint. Correct. Anything else? Maybe we have a doubt whether they will really come or not. Right? Whether they will join us or not. So, probably other priorities, time constraints. Only at my convenience and space I will be able to engage. You know? So, many times, you know, we look at this convenience aspect, only if it is convenience. But let's take that step forward and, you know, engage people, right? Then, yeah, Jesus taught us equality. Any barriers on why are we not able to have this equality amongst us, or whether we are neglecting them? Is there any barrier, or we feel that we are all equally, like, you know, we are doing very well here? Maybe in our mind we have this thing of, oh, maybe they will not be able to sing that well, or maybe they will not be able to, you know, grasp that thing very well, right? So many times we have that thing in our mind, you know, they will not be able to. Before even we talk to the person, we will say that, oh, I don't think they will have enough time. We will not even call them up, and we will say, ha, theek hai, they don't have time. Lack of trust, probably, correct. Or there could be like groupism, only these kind of people will be available. Or maybe the status, or maybe they are not my type, not my age group, too busy with my own people, right? So can we tell our neighbor, everyone is important for me? Yes. So let's look at the barriers, let's work on them, and let's you know, bring about a culture of equality. Right? So then Jesus empowered his disciples. Can someone read this? Right. So Jesus empowered his disciples, right? Now, another question. What is a barrier in entrusting people with task? What is a barrier? For example, like yesterday we were discussing in our worship team and everything that, you know, many times in the setup, you know, in the setup there are only two people or three people who come. Okay, for example, one day if we don't come and if we entrust it to somebody else, what do you think could be a challenge, or what do you think could be a positive thing? That person, whatever, somebody else other than the setup team, somebody else is entrusted, as we said, the empowered. What do you think could be a challenge or a consequence, or could be a positive thing? Two things. Not sure of the capabilities, whether he will be able to manage everything or she will be able to manage everything. Okay, very good. Then, that's a positive one. Good that they're taking the initiative to come at 9 a.m. other than the worship team. Very good. Or the setup team. Very good. Very good. Positive. The person might be, for all you know, will be able to do it. Ha, kar diya. Wow, that's nice. Commitment. Time pe aayega ki nahi pata nahi. Whether we will be able to start the church service or not, we don't know. At 10 o'clock, right? So these are all the questions, and these are some of the barriers that we need to see. Okay, I'm entrusting this, but what did we say? We have to teach before this. We have to train them. We have to engage with them firstly, right? Then only I can say, okay, so now Rekab has been coming for 3, 4 Sundays. Abhi, I can trust him, empower him, and say, okay, from next Sunday, come at 9 a.m. and you will have to set up the thing. Then we will be able to tell, okay, yes, this person is equipped and empowered. So until unless we don't teach, until unless we don't engage, until unless we don't challenge them, we will not be able to say empower them. So that is why there are only few people who are doing the tasks all over again and again and again and again, because we are not able to trust. That's a barrier. So we have to kind of train them, we have to kind of give them opportunities and help them, right? So I would like to quickly sum up this whole thing with a short story about Dr. David Livingstone. So I'm sure if I'm not sure if everybody knows, but Dr. David Livingstone was a missionary, and as a child he worked in the cotton mills to help support his poverty-stricken family. Then what happened was David Livingstone learned perseverance and went on to put himself through medical school and become a doctor before following in the footsteps of Robert Moffat and going to Africa as a doctor and a missionary. So when he went as a missionary, he explored and he found out that, see, if he becomes a doctor in a particular village, only that particular village will benefit. So he made channels and routes where there will be access to such medical facilities everywhere. So he worked on those places. So he believed that he was not called to preaching as much as he was called to finding routes and resources for trade that would displace the profit in slave trading, and worked tirelessly towards this end. So he was loved by many and respected by the tribes with whom he had contact. Now what happened was, over the period of time, definitely human being, he died, right? Then what happened? Mary Slessor. So if we know, Mary Slessor is another missionary. She said that, you know, I am going to follow the same culture of Dr. Livingstone. Okay, so growing up in the slums of Aberdeen, Scotland, with an alcoholic father and little hope of changing her circumstances, okay, Mary Slessor, her childhood taught her a tenacity and a strength that would serve her well in her years spent living in Nigeria. Mary grew up hearing her devout mother read the mission paper every month. In her heart grew a desire to share Jesus with others. She was 27 when David Livingstone passed away, and she decided that she would go and continue his work to reach all of Africa. Mary's work began in Calabar, and she lived and worked in places where no European had ever been. This was done how and why? Because David Livingstone had made those routes, okay, and channels to go there. So working tirelessly to educate and overcome superstitions such as twin killing and women's rights, she earned everyone's love and respect, and as a result was able to spread the gospel to areas no other missionary could. So can we see a culture of mission being, you know, transferred to the children and to the children's children? So her mother used to read the mission paper, and she heard about David Livingstone. Similarly, what I'm trying to derive at this is, only when we do, people will see, people will want to know, oh, this is the culture of the church. I also want to do. I will carry this forward. So no matter if this church is here in Hotel Peace Park, tomorrow we will be planted somewhere else. They will say, oh, this church had that culture. I'm going to carry it forward there also. And I'm going to carry it forward somewhere else also. So the culture keeps growing. And the good culture will bear good fruits. Right? So we will just ask God to help us to work on this area. And, work in our values, in our culture, okay, and our mission and our vision. Yes? So I'll just call over.